The Old Testament reading is from Exodus 17, verses 1 through 7. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the fourth chapter. Jesus came to a town of Samaria named Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that was saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one that you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is a place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the Old Testament lesson. I can only imagine when God would say to the people of Israel, it's time to move. They'd set up their camps. God said to move. So they move their camp again to a place where there is no water. Now, obviously, God knew there was no water there. Excuse me. Why would God send them to a place that had no water? You know, even in our own lives, sometimes God stresses our thirst for him. He's trying to draw the people's attention to him the same way that he's trying to draw our attention to him. The passage says, therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? But the people thirsted there for water, and they grumbled against Moses and said, why now have you brought us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So they demand that Moses does something. Like Moses is supposed to just manufacture water out of nowhere. Moses has the perfect reply. Your quarrel isn't with me, it is with the Lord. See, the people are only focused on their immediate needs. They knew that God had taken care of them up to this point, but they're only focused on their immediate need. They had lost sight of God's work in their lives. Other places they accused God of sending the Egyptians to drive them out of Egypt because there weren't enough graves in Egypt. And another place to kill them with bitter water or to starve them to death. Now they're claiming that God's going to kill them by dehydration. Completely forgetting his past deeds. And before we think, you know, how could they be so dumb? You know, we have the Bible, a full record of all of God's deeds. And do we always remember them? Do we always rely on his past record? So the place gets named the place of bitterness because of the fact that the people complained so loudly. And they question God's presence, which is rather amusing when you think about it, because it's still at this time that during the day, God's presence was seen as a pillar of fire. During the night, it was a pillar of fire. During the day, it was a pillar of smoke. But they ask, where is God? Literally, they could point to it. But their question, I don't think so much is God here, but can God do anything? They also seem to be forgetting the fact that he, at this point in the narrative, he's giving them manna for breakfast and quail at night. If you just want to know, assuming that we take the numbers literally that left Egypt, it would take nearly 2 million pounds of manna in the morning. And God provides that. I have no idea how many quail that would be. Now, do we ever question God's presence in spite of all of his past deeds? Do we ever wonder in our own lives, where is God now? And Moses cries to the people, what shall I do to this people? A little more and they will stone me. I like passages like that because I'm sure Moses wasn't just being meek and calm. I'm thinking he's yelling, what shall I do with these people? Which I think is a lesson for us, because there's some times that we want to yell, and it's okay to yell at God, because Moses did it a lot. And I think when Moses got done, God said, okay, now, Moses, are you now ready for me to do something. God says to Moses, pass before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand your staff with which you struck the Nile and go. Now, the crowd is ugly. They're getting really ugly here. They're threatening to stone Moses. So what does God tell Moses and the elders to do? Walk right in front of all the people. It's like, Moses, you want me to deliver you. Here's a test. Will you trust me to walk in front of the people of Israel? Now, he is to go there and strike the rock and water come out. It would be estimated that they would need, get this, 10 million gallons of water a day. Or that's the equivalent of 1,080 rail tank cars. So that wasn't just a little trickle of water. That was a whole lot of water coming out. Now jump ahead to St. Paul when he's writing the letter to the Corinthians. He tells them, remember what God did. And then he gives an interpretation of it. Paul writes, for I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. You can also look at it, the St. Paul's reminding them all through all the wilderness wanderings, the fact that God was always with them. They never had to worry that he wouldn't take care of them. They were never alone. The manna is identified as the life, the words of Christ, which we eat. The rock struck is identified as the suffering of Christ. God provided an overwhelming proof of his presence. But they ignored it. We sometimes have a tendency to do the same. Of the people of Israel, 1 Corinthians 10 says, nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. One of the reasons that all those events happened to the children of Israel in the desert was to set an example. Now, why wasn't God pleased with them? Because they put their own personal comfort before trusting in God. And St. Paul says, learn from the example. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. See, we commit the same sins. We question the character of God. We ignore his promises, and we have a tendency to forget the past. And when we're tempted or going through hard times in life, we think this is the end of the world, when in fact, God always provides a way out. So Moses strikes that rock and water pours from it. You know, in Christ, we have our comfort. And the Holy Spirit quenches our spiritual thirst. Referring to the water as Christ just goes along with what John writes in chapter 4, because Jesus identifies himself as living water. In John 7, for I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams and on the dry ground. Isaiah 44 says, I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. You know, the people didn't make the connection that water, all right, did not make the connection between that and the Messiah. It would take to the New Testament that the connection was made.
Excuse me. The Spirit here is mentioned. I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring. This is talking about walking with the Spirit. How do we do this? Or what's a, I should say, question I really wanted to ask is, what's the result of walking with the Spirit? It's because when we walk by the Spirit of God, we can also be an example to others. We need the living water of Christ in us. Did you know that nearly every person, including everyone here, is dehydrated to some point? Very few of us are actually hydrated to the proper level. And you know, when you're not hydrated correctly, it affects every system in your body. That's why it's so important. You know, here's your health tip for the day, if you didn't know it, to drink plenty of fluids. Now, coffee is a fluid. Oh, they say it doesn't count. It's got water. Anyway, but if you think about it, the living water of God, a lot of times we're not fully spiritually hydrated. The Holy Spirit is absolutely essential to a spiritual well-being. I'll use an analogy of a car, not that I know a great deal about them, but the function of the Holy Spirit in our life. A car can run on the battery alone, well, with the engine running, for a certain period of time until the battery runs down. Have you ever blown your alternator? How long do you go after the alternator goes? Not long. Okay? That's when you got to call the tow truck. Because when the alternator blows, you're not going to go very far on your own battery power alone, because the alternator recharges the battery. If you want to look at it this way, the Holy Spirit sort of functions as the alternator in our system. He keeps our battery charged. Now, how do we access this wonderful fountain that God promises us? We get it through the Word. In Hebrews chapter 4, "For indeed we have the good news preached to us, just as they," referring to the Israelites in the wilderness, "also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard it." So when we surrender to the truth, when we surrender to God's word, we have that fountain that is flowing within us. It soaks our life. There's another word that... Yes! That's the word. I just had a Joe Biden moment and couldn't pronounce the word right. Oh, come on. That was just having fun. All right. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from every form of evil." And that's where I will close. May the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.